Here at the station, we're lucky to have a lot of critics. Food critics, movie critics, book critics, because we think a critical dialogue is important. What's good? What's bad? And what trends are emerging? Recently, folks in KC have started talking about how we can do this better for the arts. So the bat signal went out, and an invitation was issued for experimental approaches to writing about the arts in KC.
Hi, this is Patricia Maloney, and I am here in Kansas City. Kansas City, of all places. We're having a really great time. I'm here with some of my AP crew.
That AP crew she's talking about is not the Associated Press, but a San Francisco publication called Art Practical. They just did an entire issue about the Kansas City art scene. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we'll discuss their findings and invite you to critique the critics' criticism. That's coming up after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Anybody who has visited or moved here and engaged in a conversation with a native has probably, at some point in that discourse, had to answer the question, "You're not from here, are you?" But for the editors of an arts magazine called Art Practical, based in San Francisco, that was exactly the point. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. The result of the visit from the reporters from Art Practical was an entire issue this month dedicated to the issues, peaks and valleys, triumphs and challenges of the art scene here in Kansas City. And joining us now for that discussion on how this all came together and what's happening going forward are our guests. Patricia Maloney, editor of Art Practical, joining us by phone from San Francisco. Sarah Lynn Reese Hardy, director of the Spencer Museum of Art in Lawrence. And Amy Kligman, an artist and a recipient of the Rocket Grant and the official blogger for rocketgrants.org about the Art Practical visit. So she covered the coverage, so to speak. Welcome all to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Patricia, tell us about Art Practical for those who may be new to it or don't know about it. Tell us about that publication.
Art Practical is an online magazine, and we focus primarily on the San Francisco Bay Area visual arts. And we started producing issues in October 2009, and we produce a new issue every 2 weeks. So the Kansas City issue was actually our 53rd issue in, you know, just over 2 years. And each issue contains reviews of exhibitions and events, interviews, profiles, and long-format essays. The magazine also does a daily listing of events that are on view and exhibitions that are on view, lectures and performances, and a news feed of, you know, things, notable things that are happening internationally within the art world, as well as a section of picks, which are exhibitions that we feel, you know, everyone should check out.
Now, what's different about Art Practical versus Art Form or some of the other critical publications about art? What's the approach? What makes the approach unique?
What makes us unique is the focus on a local art scene and the fact that San Francisco is not a market-driven artist community. So, you know, we're focusing on issues above and beyond the market. The other thing that makes us really unique is that we take advantage of the distributive power of the internet, and we actually collaborate with a couple of other online ventures, including Daily Serving, which is also an international art magazine, Bat It Sports, which is a podcast, and we produce our interview content collaboratively with them, and Happenstan, which is a locally focused Bay Area event listing site. So all of our event listings come through them. And as a result, we have so much more robust content, and we reach a much broader audience. So we can take advantage of being, like, really going in-depth and focusing locally and yet reach a really wide audience.
Now, Patricia, do you routinely dedicate entire issues to local art scenes outside of your area, or is this the first such an endeavor?
This is the first one, and, you know, this is something we've been hoping to do, and so we were really excited when this opportunity came up. You know, because we're online, the question of our geography has always been a large one for us. Why do we focus on San Francisco other than the fact that, you know, the editorial staff is based here? And how does operating from San Francisco sort of influence the way we do things? And we thought a really great way to do that would be to step outside of our own community and take an in-depth look at another community.
Which is the perfect lead-in to the next question. When you choose to step outside of San Francisco, what makes KC the first place you want to go? Why KC?
We knew that was a question that was going to come up for a lot of our readers, and we wanted to make sure that we answered that. San Francisco is the recipient of a regional regranting program through the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts. And here in San Francisco, it's called Alternative Exposure. Art Practical is actually a recipient of one of those grants. We received one when we first started. And Kansas City has a similar regional regranting program through the Warhol Foundation. There it's called the Rocket Grant. And because of that, we were aware that there were these practices that were, you know, taking hold in Kansas City, you know, practices that were about, you know, social engagement and social practice, collective activities and interventions into the public sphere. And these are practices, artistic practices, that have a lot of traction in the Bay Area. So, you know, we were so curious about why these practices were taking hold and what did they look like in Kansas City.
We're going to bring in Sarah Lynn Reese-Hardy, the director of the Spencer Museum of Art in Lawrence, to our conversation. The purpose of this exercise was to bring, quote-unquote, experimental writing and arts criticism to the city. What was experimental about this approach, Sarah Lynn?
Well, I think Art Practical is represents for all of us a mirror of the kind of projects that we hope are begin to spread throughout the region, which are experimental risk-taking. And the writing itself for Art Practical reflects that. So in some ways, it's an extension of the ideals of the Rocket Grant Program and the Warhol Foundation. For them to suddenly begin to fund these artist projects that inside them have degrees of risk are very important.
Speaking of degrees of risk, Patricia Maloney, you had one reporter who had never been here before in their life and another reporter who had never, both of whom had never lived here and didn't know much about the city and its environs. How did you know what to cover? Who did you reach out to? How did you tap a local liaison or emissary? Or did the reporters just hit the ground running like foreign correspondents?
Well, actually, with the exception of Patrick Gillespie, who is an artist who actually had worked with Grand Arts, none of the San Francisco-based writers had ever been to Kansas City before. We were all, like, you know, going in eyes wide open. And so what we did was a lot of advanced research looking mostly online at, you know, projects that we thought would sort of fit this mold of, you know, experimentation and social engagement and collaboration, and, you know, came up with a list and then coordinated with Julia Cole of the Charlotte Street Foundation to set up meetings and conversations. And I think what was really interesting about our approach was that all of the research that we did on the ground was in conversation with artists and, you know, with directors of the various venues and with curators. So we weren't going in, you know, looking at art as much as we were engaging people in conversation, and that was really important to us.
Speaking of conversations with artists, Amy Kligman, you're an artist, and this was a sort of full media blitz, so you actually covered the coverage through the blog. What did you find with the local reaction to the visit?
Well, I think in general, we were all pretty happy that AP, their approach was to, as Patricia mentioned, to engage us in conversation. So it never felt like you were being put under a microscope or that you were being, like, stared at. It was, you know, it wasn't like, oh, Kansas City, how fascinating. You know, it was like, it was fascinating, but it was fascinating in that we were in dialogue and that there were parallels and that there were things that I mean, I think it kind of went both ways. It wasn't just them looking at us. It was them using Kansas City, I hope. And Patricia, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I heard this from you guys that, you know, it was almost like a mirror for San Francisco as well. And I saw that in the writing, that some of these things that you wrote about, they were reflective not just of Kansas City, but of San Francisco.
Does Kansas City arts coverage in the what you found out when you came here, reporters found out when they came here, Patricia, does that help inform how San Francisco looks at itself as an arts enclave?
Definitely. You know, we realized we were coming into the city for a very short period of time. You know, we weren't going to have an in-depth perspective where we could sort of let go of the traditional, or not, maybe not traditional, but you know, the ways in which we're accustomed, you know, to thinking about art and looking at art, and those ways are very much shaped by, you know, being in the Bay Area. So we, you know, realized coming in, and it was sort of reaffirmed, you know, while we were there and while we were in conversation, that what people were telling us was, you know, reflecting as much back on how we do things as it was informing us about how things happen in Kansas City.
What was the welcome like? Did they get barbecue and get jazz played for them when they got off the plane, or what was the welcome like for your reporters?
Everyone was so nice. We kept saying that over and over again. The Midwest hospitality is like, it's real, and we were the full recipients of it. I have to say, you know, like, people were incredibly generous and welcoming to us. There was never a moment in which we didn't feel like we, you know, couldn't ask anything, or, you know, we like just felt comfortable immediately, like, you know, talking to everyone. And to go into a situation like that is fantastic, because I think it really makes it conducive, you know, to dialogue and to conversation. And you realize that people have shared goals. And I think that was, you know, to go back to your other question about, you know, what was it telling us about San Francisco? I really have this idea and this that there isn't just one model for, you know, for an art scene, that there are several models. And for places like Kansas City and San Francisco, that in a sense are like off-center centers for artistic production, finding those commonalities become really important.
And you involve local writers in your issue. What was that experience like? How did that come about?
That was, you know, we thought that was really important, you know, from the outset, and that was actually part of our proposal for the issue, was that, you know, we knew that our perspectives were going to reflect our San Francisco filter, and so we wanted to have writers who could offer a more nuanced and embedded perspective about what was happening. And so, you know, I received recommendations for writers, went online, you know, again, you know, did a lot of reading of different writers, and made the invitation, and you know, and met with these writers, when, you know, Rebecca and Blair primarily, when we were in Kansas City, to talk about, you know, what we were hoping for. But we also put out the invitation to the entire community to submit what we call shotgun reviews, which is always an open forum on our site. Anyone who's interested can contribute a short format review up to 400 words about something that they find of interest. So, you know, we had the additional perspectives from Teresa and Nicole.
The online magazine Art Practical, based in San Francisco, has dedicated an entire issue, the March issue, to coverage of the local art scene here in Kansas City, and we're critiquing the criticism of the critics of today on Central Standard, and we're live on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Patricia Maloney, the editor of Art Practical, joining us by phone from San Francisco. Sarah Lynn Reese-Hardy is the director of the Spencer Museum of Art in Lawrence. And Amy Kligman is an artist and Rocket grantee, an official blogger for the rocketgrants.org about the Art Practical visit. So it's a multi-layered conversation. Kansas City, did you know this magazine was dedicating an entire issue to your city? If so, what did you think of the final results? And do you think KC needs a more critical approach to writing about the arts, how would you go about starting that dialogue? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Amy, what did local artists contribute to the issue, and how did it change what you know about the state of the arts in Kansas City?
Well, I think there were a couple of ways in which local artists were involved. For example, you know, like Patricia said, they were doing interviews, and not just interviews, but discussions, town hall-like kind of events with artists in town. You know, I'm part of a bigger project. My project is called Plug Projects, and it's a gallery here. And we hosted an event where there was all of the people that were involved in the Rocket Grants were there. We had conversations. You can see in the issue, those conversations are referenced. They're filtered through. They're kind of, I think, that's where the content came from, were all these like dialogues back and forth. And then on top of that, to your point earlier, there were local writers that were invited to participate, that were actually just kind of open invited to participate, like Nicole, that were giving their little shotgun reviews. The shotgun review thing is something that I find fascinating in and of itself. It's something that Art Practical always does. And it's just kind of a open call, and people are able to submit. And what that does is it encourages critical writing from people that may not have even ever done it. And I think that's pretty exciting here. You know, it kind of encourages it from a crowd that maybe isn't a writer even. You know, there were artists that submitted shotgun reviews. And I think that for Kansas City to see that is inspiring, because, you know, here we might be looking for ways to infuse critical writing into our art scene. And I think looking at that kind of crowdsourced open invite, that might be a way for us to kind of generate more critical mass for that kind of work.
Sarah Lynn, what does a viable presence of arts criticism do for an arts community?
A theme that is going through this for me is the attitude of generosity. And that's an indirect answer to your question, I realize, but the arts community gets bigger, it gets smarter, it gets more generous. And I think that when Art Practical came in, as soon as they arrived in Kansas City, they demonstrated an incredible work ethic. They gave full attention. And perhaps it is that demonstrated full attention that is the most important role for art criticism. It's not so much about saying this is good, this is bad. It has to do with putting the full limelight on a work of art or a work of art practices so that we take it as a community more seriously as part of the social fabric.
Patricia, you were focused on a specific kind of art in our city. Tell us what that specific kind of art is and what the constraints were in terms of looking at it through a full lens.
So what we were looking at are practices that were really invited collaboration or were public interventions or fell under what we would call here in San Francisco social practice. And, you know, social practice is not as invested in producing art objects such as painting or sculpture or even, say, a video work, but is more about, you know, recognizing, you know, one individual operating in a community of other individuals and, you know, how to highlight certain types of way of building community. And so, you know, we wanted to focus on these practices because we felt essentially that they were, as I mentioned in the introduction, barometers for community, you know, because they provide evidence of the collaborative energy and of the community interaction and the needs that exist within a community.
What projects stood out for you here in Kansas City that fit that criteria?
You know, there was This was a moment where I was just like, oh, you know, like I wish we had brought, you know, 10 more writers with us, because there were so many different projects that stood out. You know, one was Blair Shulman wrote about in his article, which is Bread, KC. And, you know, that is a micro-granting program. So where Sean and Andy, the two young men who run it, host these meals, get all of the food donated, and, you know, cook the food, invite the community to come in, and artists make presentations at these meals, and then the diners vote on which one they think should be funded, and all of, you know, the money that the diners have paid, you know, to attend the meal then goes, you know, to the artists to realize their project. Another project that we didn't write about was Zach Springer's Build Something Together, in which he has a website of that name in which he invites people to make proposals, and he lists his skills, which, you know, include, you know, carpentry and construction skills, but also having a good conversation, selecting music, drinking coffee. And so he is really interested in how having a project which can, you know, is about improving somebody's life, can also have these social benefits as well. So, you know, I think those are sort of two examples. A third is, you know, Amy is part of the curatorial collective Plug Projects, and, you know, we interviewed them, and that appears as this week's episode on That It's Sports. And that is, you know, these are five artists who are also putting their energy into coming together and creating an exhibition program for the Kansas City community.
Aside from what you describe, Patricia, as our friendliness here in the KC metro area, what about KC was especially surprising?
The space. We were sort of wide-eyed at the space and to realize that in, you know, in the Bay Area, like how much verticality we deal with, and there was this, you know, wide openness, and to see beyond the limits of the city into the plains was something that struck us and we found, you know, really beautiful. And, you know, we took a trip out to Lawrence, and, you know, making that drive, you know, it was a new geography for us. And so that certainly was something we, you know, we weren't anticipating, was how the physical landscape would influence us. The other thing was the fact that, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area is an incredibly expensive place to live, and to realize that, you know, living in Kansas City, artists have the opportunity to have both space and time to work, and what a difference that makes. I think as a result, what happens is it does feed into that generosity that Sarah Lynn mentioned, because there is less sort of territorial, you know, claims on one's time and one's space.
Did you find any similarities between Lawrence and Berkeley?
That's a great question. I'm laughing because that's actually where, you know, I live. And so, you know, like the university is a dominant presence. I have to say, you know, we didn't spend enough time in Lawrence for me to be able to make, you know, an apt comparison. But I think overall, like, you do feel the influence that the academic institutions have, both in Kansas City with the Art Institute and then, you know, in Lawrence with the university.
That's a question you would only get on this show, by the way. Amy Kligman, what was your favorite article in the issue that you think was the most authentic, that asked and answered the most critical questions about art here in KC?
Wow, that's really tough, because the articles were different from each other. You know, like, there was an article, like Patricia mentioned, about Bread that I really, really appreciated, and that was written by someone local. But I don't know, I have an affinity for that program, and I think it was great to see that much exposure given to it. I also appreciated, there was an article by Christian Frock that kind of talked about history and how that plays into some of these projects that are coming up in Kansas City. And I thought that was interesting as well. Some of the Q&As, there was a Q&A with Barry Anderson and Erica Lynn Hansen that I thought, you know, was kind of telling. That was written by a couple of people that actually didn't come out to Kansas City, I think. At least the one, like you said, Patricia, was somebody that had been here before from Grand Arts, but he wasn't a part of the crew that came in. So I was interested in that. And then Patricia's article on Subterranean Gallery I thought was really, really great, because what Ayla Rexroth is doing in that space is so special for Kansas City. I thought it was great to highlight it and to kind of tell her story, because she's doing something that is fairly altruistic. I mean, it's a space that's run out of her, you know, her home, and it's not meant to be it's not meant to sell work. She actually can't sell work in this space. And so really, you know, all that running that space is about giving exposure to artists, about having a space in which to talk about work. And some of her programming has been really kind of out there in a good way. So I thought that was especially nice.
We've been discussing the March issue of Arts Practical, electronic magazine based in San Francisco, but the March issue was dedicated entirely to Kansas City. Our guests are Patricia Maloney, editor of Art Practical, joining us by phone from San Francisco. Thank you for joining us on today's Central Standard. Sarah Lynn Reese-Hardy is also the director of the Spencer Museum of Art in Lawrence, and Amy Kligman is the artist of Rocket Grant fame and the official blogger for the RocketGrants.org program about the Art Practical visit. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we ask, what happens now? And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. The Kansas City metro area has a few things in common with the San Francisco Bay metro area. Both metro areas have hosted a pro baseball team named the Athletics. Both regions can claim ownership of local artist Peregrine Honig, and both regions are recipients of arts programs from the Andy Warhol Foundation. And now, a San Francisco arts magazine has dedicated an entire issue to KC, so there's another addition to those commonalities. One of the centerpiece themes from this coverage is that both areas are off-center areas of cultural production. So continue our discussion about the Art Practical issue and how Art Practical came, saw, heard, looked, and listened, and wrote about the local art scene. Here are our guests in this second half of the hour. Patricia Maloney, editor of Art Practical, joining us by phone from San Francisco. Sarah Lynn Reese-Hardy, director of the Spencer Museum of Art in Lawrence, is joining us as well. And Amy Kligman, an artist and Rocket grantee and official blogger for rocketgrants.org about the Art Practical visit. Now, Amy, Rocket Grants funded this project. Was there pressure to only cover Rocket Grant related projects?
You mean within the Art Practical issue?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they did that, actually. There was coverage of other projects as well.
No pressure, Patricia?
No, definitely not. We realized when we arrived there how much intersection there was between the Rocket Grants and then the type of practices that we were looking at, but it was not a mandate by any means.
Why is arts criticism so important? I posed that question to Sarah Lynn earlier, and we'll revisit that. Why is arts criticism so important, Patricia?
I think a lot of people have this perception, you know, that criticism is about casting judgment on something, deciding what its value is. And in fact, I see the role of criticism as stimulating ideas, that, you know, engaging people in a conversation about a work of art helps to create a further experience of that work. And it allows for the idea that, you know, many different perspectives and perceptions, you know, can be possible in the same work.
Sarah Lynn Reese-Hardy, director of the Spencer Museum of Art in Lawrence, does criticism change the way art's created or viewed in a community?
Yes, it does. It is an interactive process. And just as art allows a person to live both inside and outside of the work, so does good art criticism. It allows us to have both a view of the work and a view of coming from the work. So I think that this perhaps is a way that criticism has shifted over the years. It's shifted along with art. It used to be slightly more I'm going to say the word monolithic. And now you find that really good arts criticism has a prismatic effect. It gives you the idea. It gives you some ideas you didn't have before. It introduces you to some new forms in media. And perhaps in that way, it's reflective of artistic practice now that's just exploding all over the place.
Sarah Lynn, what does a magazine dedicating an entire issue to Casey say about Casey's potential as a great American arts enclave in the 21st century?
It's going to be at the front. I think Kansas City and the Kansas City greater metropolitan area is one of those places to watch internationally. It has a lot of potential. I think this issue is the beginning, well, not certainly not the beginning, but is a very important milestone to where Kansas City is going in the future. Kansas City is being called a crossroads for the arts. Kansas City is being recognized by artists as a hospitable place. And now we're inserting a slightly more elevated conversation about the work that is actually being made in this region. So it's a very exciting time for Kansas City and the whole region.
Amy Glickman, the flip side of that is, what does it say about a local community and the support of the art scene that a magazine based 2,000 miles away provides the most comprehensive coverage of the local art scene in quite a while?
Well,
what does that say?
Well, I think, we have had several different kinds of outlets for criticism in Kansas City in the past. You know, for a long time, Review Magazine was around. It actually did a really comprehensive job of covering the art scene in Kansas City. I feel like now media is changing in general, and so internet media makes a lot of sense. And, internet media can come from anywhere. And it's an interesting lens to have somebody from the outside looking at the inside, looking at what you're doing. And they're going to have, I guess, a less prejudiced point of view in some ways about what's happening here. They're going to come at it kind of clean. So there's something about that that is always going to be really appealing for artists, to have somebody look at their work that that really doesn't know anything about it until they're right there.
Tell us about your work, Amy, before the art practical experience and how it may change after.
Well, the project that I'm a part of that I think will be affected by this, this Plug Projects, which is a gallery space, but we're trying to do a lot of things that go beyond just being a gallery space. And part of that really is about this critical writing issue and what can we do to infuse more of that into the community, and not just writing, but dialogue in general. So, I think conversations that happened as part of this visit will affect projects we might take on in the future. And not just our projects, but I hope projects that, other people might be a part of and do. And, that might be something like, maybe it is a publication of some kind, and maybe it's not so literal. And I think that's exciting and inspiring.
Speaking of Plug, they hosted a morning brunch for Art Practical and Rocket Grant's artists, and a conversation about the arts in Casey took place there. What was that forum like for everybody involved?
It was really interesting because Plug is super small. So, we had like, I want to say there were 40 people in this small space. It was very intimate feeling in the end. And I think that, there was a lot of opening up that happened, and people felt like I think this is a small, tight-knit community, and it felt that way in that room. And I think that there was a lot of in-depth conversation that carried on beyond just that one instance, conversations that are still going.
So, Patricia, how does the Art Practical coverage now change the way Art Practical covers other subjects, other enclaves?
That's a great question, because that is, our primary question for ourselves at this moment is, what does this mean? Now we've produced this issue. It's out in the world. People are responding to it. How does this impact who we are? And I have this idea that, first of all, I'm really hoping to continue the conversation with Kansas City, with Amy, and with Plug Projects, with the Charlotte Street Foundation, with the Spencer Art Museum. And, as they think about and perhaps potentially produce their own publication to, help them and be part of that conversation. And part of the motivation for me is to recognize that, potentially, we could become part of a national network of locally focused, you know, online publications that highlight these off-center centers.
Amy, did we used to have a stronger arts criticism?
Well, I don't want to insinuate that the people that are providing arts criticism now aren't doing a good job, because I think that is happening, but it's just that we could always use more, you know. And I think that artists here, I think that we just want to talk more about the work. You know, there's a lot of work happening, a lot, and we just want to see the impact of that in conversation. You know, we're doing things like this Crit Nights, which are, you know, they're like conversations about art that aren't written, they're not archived, they're not. But I think that there's something about the idea of archive and of, you know, carrying this criticism forward that is impactful as well. You know, in AP, this is an online archive, and it's kind of ephemeral. These issues, they have prominence for a while, and then they move on to like a different kind of space. But they're still there. And I think that there's something about a lasting record of the work that is important, because then people can kind of come to that. It doesn't have to be in that exact moment. People that aren't here right now in this space in Kansas City 3-4 years from now will still be able to learn about what's happening now. I think that's important.
Sarah Lynn Reese-Hardy, how would you respond to the criticism among some that this may be an exercise akin to a loft party for artists and art critics that doesn't create any noticeable or memorable or sustainable awareness outside of the art community? How would you respond to that?
Memorable is such a very good word, because I think memorable encloses the work in a more humanistic perspective. You're affected. And any time that a person encounters an art practice or a conversation or a work of art and it shifts your perspective, it does change things. So I would respond that Amy's attitude about the archive is a very important one, because sometimes the most profound and long-lasting effects of art are much later and can only be found by looking in a, what I would call a living archive.
Patricia Maloney, are those your thoughts as well, where this is being done now to create a legacy, a conversation that's ongoing that can be reviewed?
Yeah, I don't, you know, think of it just in terms of a legacy, although the archive is certainly a part of that, that this is a reference point. And I think that the online medium that we have sort of allows us to create traces back much more readily than when things just existed in print. And so I really think that this is going to be a conversation that continues and ripples out. Part of the response that I've received have been from people here in the Bay Area who are from Kansas City or had lived there at some point, who are very excited about this issue and like very excited all of a sudden, you know, to claim Kansas City again. And that, I think, is something that will continue and go forward. The idea that, you know, allowing people to claim multiple affiliations and, it'll just be an ongoing conversation that will have these, you know, continual, that'll have this issue as a reference point.
The magazine Art Practical, the online magazine out of San Francisco, has dedicated an entire issue, the March issue, to coverage of the local art scene here in KC. And we're critiquing the criticism of those critics on today's program, Central Standard. We're live on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are Patricia Maloney, editor of Art Practical, joining us by phone from San Francisco, Sarah Lynn Reese-Hardy, director of the Spencer Museum of Art in Lawrence, and Amy Glidman, an artist and a blogger and Renaissance woman who covered this whole Art Practical visit. One of the reactions, Sarah Lynn, to the March issue asks, how we, meaning the KC arts community, create our own forums, venues, and outlets for these kind of conversations in the future. Can you guys answer that question here now? How do we?
Well, I think that when Charlotte Street and Spencer Museum through Rocket Grants selected Art Practical, we selected them in part because of their involvement of local writers. And that was a very central aspect of their proposal, which we thought was fantastic. So I think that, that model is very important for how we think of things locally. But I feel I need to say that I think one of the things that this project points out is that we are all living in a moment that is both local and global. All of us have to negotiate that space, whether it's an individual deeply rooted in a community, but with access to information, instantaneous information around the globe. So everything from food supply to information is part of our global situation. So I think art is no exception. And that to really sink into a local capacity building like art writing, it also has to have a global consciousness.
And artist Barry Anderson said something interesting in one of the centerpiece articles of the issue. While there are a good number of nonprofit institutions that support local artists, the commercial gallery world is not very supportive in fostering local collectors and patrons or in advancing the careers of local artists. That's one of the points from artist Barry Anderson that stuck out. What is your sense of that? What is your response to that, Sarah Lynn?
I, for a long time, believed that true artists live in a gift economy.
In a gift economy.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, a gift economy, you gain stature by what you give away. And while I don't think that you live off of this, and I think that there are many, many ways that we need to support the careers and financial livelihood of our artists. The artists that I know, the artists who have continued to push forward, are those artists who have to make work. They have to be artists. It's not something that they really choose. They're driven to it. And I'm reminded of, and just in the relationship with this, I'm reminded of a quote I believe it was from Juan Moniz, about the responsibility of art writing. And that responsibility has to do with when you write about someone's work, it's with it forever. And that's currency. That's a kind of currency that's not about finances, but is about reputation.
Patricia, what are some examples of art as a conversation that you discovered here? Art that actually starts a conversation and that is within itself a conversation.
Well, I think that's why I focused on Subterranean Gallery in my article and contribution to this issue, was because I thought that that was the currency in which they operated, as Amy mentioned earlier, because of, you know, zoning restrictions. I can't, you know, sell work as part of that gallery. So instead, she creates other forms of exchange, and conversation is chief among them. And there's really interesting ways in which she's done that. Most recently, she and Clayton Skidmore co-curated the Hot Tub Dialogues. So they invited people who hold, you know, influential positions in different institutions and organizations, you know, within Kansas City to come hang out in the hot tub and, you know, talk to an audience of 30 people. And to me, that was just like, you know, the concept of trying to bring it into that level of intimacy is really important. And, you know, you can think of that project in so many ways. You know, you could think of it just as a lecture series, but, you know, you could think of it also like as a socially engaged work of art.
I'm already intrigued. Hot tubs, conversations about art.
I mean,
tell us more about that.
A hot tub.
Tell us more about that, Amy.
Yeah, Ayla's program, like Patricia mentioned, is pretty centered around these kinds of events, right? So there are things that happen that are again very intimate. Another thing that she had was kind of I think she called it a one night stand sleepover kind of thing, where you stayed the night after the show, and then you had this kind of Again, like more intimate conversation with the artist, and you had
was that in or out of the hot tub?
No, that was prior to the hot tubs. But you know, and I wish Ayla were here to speak to that. But you know, I think that what was really engaging about her program and her work is that she's really focused on that, the conversation part and the dialogue, and you know, and it's very casual, it's very intimate, it's not the kind of thing where it's a huge to do, you know, because this is again a small space, it's like a basement, you know, and that creates a different kind of talking.
Sarah Lynn, how will the community, do you think, respond in terms of using this art practical issue and this cultural exchange as a springboard to create arts awareness locally, nationally, and internationally?
I think we will all be using it as an experimental launch. I like thinking about what's the difference between a museum setting and a hot tub. I like thinking about all that. I think it raises the idea of context to a level that that's new for us, to be thinking about these projects and these as part of the ecology of our whole region. So how will we use it? I think we'll use it as exemplars, but we'll also use it as ways of calibrating experimentation with venue and context.
Patricia, does this make you want to look at other areas of the country to do comprehensive coverage of other areas as well?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's like I'm hoping that this is just a starting point for us, that, you know, we can take this experience and you know, replicate it in other communities. And like I said, you know, like use it, you know, not just for our own interests, but, you know, hopefully with the idea of building a national network. You know, when I talked about the idea of both Kansas City and San Francisco being these off-center centers for artistic production, we have these ideas of New York and Los Angeles and London as major centers, and that's because, you know, they're really market-driven. And so, you know, when there isn't a thriving market, like, you know, how does an art scene flourish? And I want to come up with the answers to that question.
Are we ultimately validated, Amy, by what other people from other enclaves or patrons from other cities or countries putting their stamp approval on us?
I don't necessarily think so. I mean, I think everyone, well, I'm overstating, but I think, you know, human nature in general is that you put something out there and you want to see a reaction of some kind, you know, like why are you creating this work if there is no reaction to it? So I think that whether it's at, you know, an outside, you know, national scope, someone like Patricia in Art Practical, or it's reaction within our own community, which we're just as excited to hear, by the way. I mean, you know, as an artist, you get really excited by something as simple as a studio visit, where it's, you know, a one-on-one experience and somebody's there talking to your work. So I think just in general, feedback is important, you know, and so that's what I think Art Practical brought awareness to while they were here.
Patricia Maloney, what's the difference between art journalism versus art criticism?
I think that, you know, it's a nuanced distinction between the two. As a magazine focused on art criticism, we have an objective that goes beyond reporting, which is, you know, perhaps what journalism is embedded in, and really our objective is to generate dialogue. So we, you know, you may have noticed we actually don't have comments on our site, you know, at the end of articles, because we really want people to take the information that we're presenting and bring it out into the world and have conversation about it. We don't want it to live, you know, just on the site. And so that's what I see the distinction as, you know, like where the objective is rather than just reporting, it's about creating conversation.
Amy, were you inspired to try new things to continue these conversations?
I think that we, as a community, we were kind of ripe for this. We were all, you know, kind of feeling a need for dialogue and criticism and communication at a different level right now, as the community starts to grow. So I think that this, I think it's been a catalyst for things that, you know, I hope materialize in our community at large.
And how does this get people outside of the artist community, Sarah Lynn, to get involved?
That's a wonderful question, because I think the nature of the Rocket Grants is all about that. It's about art that happens in the social domain. So when a project comes up that stimulates questions about how one lives one's life, how what is a venue, you know, where are spaces that you can express yourself, I think the public wants to be involved. I do strongly believe that good questions lead to better questions, and that in some ways that's the role of a great art critic, is to stimulate more possibilities and more questions.
Patricia Maloney, what's the takeaway of this Art Practical special issue on Kansas City? Do you notice any discernible unifying theme about Kansas City?
I not unifying, but I think that several themes did emerge for us, which, as Amy mentioned, that, you know, that this is a community that is incredibly open to new forms of artistic expression, that there's a lot of energy. And so, you know, like, things can come in and, you know, not just our issue and, you know, our time there, but I think, you know, individuals who are operating there are really catalyzing the community in exciting ways, that there is if I had to come up with something that was unifying, it would be the sense of, you know, of openness to new options.
The online magazine Arts Practical has dedicated an entire issue to Kansas City's arts community, and that can be found at artpractical.com. Our guests are Patricia Maloney, editor of Art Practical, joining us by phone from San Francisco. Sarah Lynn Reese Hardy is the director of the Spencer Museum of Art in Lawrence. And Amy Kligman is an artist who is an artist in the community and covered the Art Practical visit as a blogger at rocketgrants.org. Thank you, ladies, all for joining us here today on Central Standard.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And tune in tomorrow when our conversation on the arts continues with a look at new methods of institutional collectors, businesses, and organizations creating joint funds to trade and share art pieces. Plus, the band Beautiful Bodies drops in to rock the house. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi with help from Charlie Upchurch. Up to Date is next with presidential historian Robert Dalek. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.